shining a light to the nations.
Well, shalom again, everybody. This is Bill Cloud, and this program is Returning to Our Roots. And we are striving to provoke people to want to understand better the roots of our faith. The roots of our faith did not start in Rome. The roots of our faith did not start in some denominational headquarters. The roots of our faith go back to Jerusalem and to Israel. And so if we're going to understand our faith better, we've got to get back to the roots. So we have, over the last several weeks, been dealing with the concept of concealed and revealed. But today we're going to kind of turn the corner and we're going to get into what we're calling on the third day. Because the whole idea here has been to suggest to you and back it up with Scripture the fact that our Father does hide things and there is a purpose for hiding those things. But what we're going to get into beginning today is, when does He reveal these things? Is there an appointed time? And we believe the Scripture teaches that there is, in fact, an appointed time that these things that have been in darkness are brought into the light. And specifically, what I want you to keep in mind as we're going through this is, many of you who are watching out there have already been introduced to the Hebraic roots of your faith, or you've been introduced to the fact that there is such a thing as the Hebraic roots of your faith. And for some folks, that it poses a problem for them because they're thinking, well, how come I haven't heard about all these things before? How come my mom and dad or my grandfather or grandparents didn't tell me about Yeshua? And they never even said anything about that. Or they didn't talk about feast days. And they didn't say anything about Shabbat. And all these different concepts connected to the Hebraic roots of our faith. Well, the answer to that is because it wasn't time. These things have been hidden in the Scriptures. And yet, we can go back and we can show you they've always been there. They've been hidden in plain sight. And so why is it that just now these things are really coming to our attention and being revealed to us? And I believe the answer to that question is because, ladies and gentlemen, prophetically speaking, you and I are living in the third day. So now, as we begin our study, let us go to Galatians chapter 4. And read a verse that everybody's familiar with. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Which is simply to say, as far as our study is concerned, that He didn't send Him 1,000 years before that time, or 2,000 years before that time. He sent Him at the appointed time. 4,000 years into human history is the time that the Creator decided that the Word would become flesh, dwell among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. That was the appointed time. And it was the perfect time. Too soon would have not been right. Too late would have not been right. But He did it at the appointed time. And so then, because in the Messiah, who is the light of the world, we begin to perceive things that had been in darkness before, we understand that there are some things that cannot be understood before its appointed time. No one in Yeshua's day understood that He was going to have to go to a tree and be crucified, be buried, and then to be resurrected on the third day. But on the third day, that is the day of His resurrection, many things were brought out of darkness into light. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus are puzzled over the events of that day. But it was on that day that the stranger in Luke chapter 24 began to reveal to them things from Moses and the prophets, things that had always been there. But He makes it very clear that it wasn't going to be understood until it was the appointed time. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 2, we have some other verses to substantiate this. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." And so the prophet makes it very clear that even though these things are not happening yet, if you will, even though these things remain obscure and in darkness, they are going to happen. They are going to come to pass. But when? at the appointed time. Let me read another passage of Scripture for you that kind of gets into this as well. This is taken from Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." And so, just very simply, there were things that Daniel was being told that he was writing down. And frankly, apparently, anyway, Daniel didn't understand them. But the angel is telling him, write it up, or write it down, seal it up. When? Until the time of the end. Because these things that you're writing about, Daniel, are not going to be understood until it's time for them to be understood. Because at that point in time, many are going to be running to and fro, I would read into that, seeking, searching, digging, knocking, and at that time, knowledge will be increased. Things that are not understood today will be understood then, because it's the appointed time. And so these things, ladies and gentlemen, are like a seed that's planted in the ground. And when you plant beans and you put your seed in the ground, you cover it with the ground. And that seed is in darkness. It's not seen. People who didn't plant it don't even know it's there. Only the sower knows that it's there. And the sower knows that it's going to have to wait until all the proper conditions come together. Because if you plant too early in the season, and you have a late frost, and that seed is already germinated and sprouted, when that frost comes, that plant is going to die. If you plant that seed too late in the season, and it's a young sprout in the heat of summer, then that plant is going to die. And so it's very important. In fact, it's a life and death issue for that seed to remain hidden in the ground until all the proper conditions come together. There has to be the right soil temperature. There has to be the right amount of moisture. And most importantly, it has to be the proper season. And when all of these components come together and everything is just as it is intended to be by the Creator, who is the sower, then that seed will begin to germinate. Then it'll set down roots. And then it'll begin to push up through the soil, and what was in darkness will come out into the light. And once that plant comes out into the light and it's in the sunshine, then it begins to grow very quickly, and it begins to thrive, and it begins to mature, and it begins to produce fruit. And that was the whole reason, that it would produce fruit. But all of this started by a seed being hidden in the ground in the darkness. But it was not to say that there was no life there. In fact, that's where the life was. Because everything, the blade, the plant, the branches of the plant, the blooms that it's going to produce, and the blooms that will be transformed into fruit, and even the seed that's going to be in that fruit, all started from that seed that was hidden in darkness. An interesting footnote to this is my good friend Brad Scott of Wild Branch Ministry makes the connection between the word seed and the Hebrew word sod, which means hidden, concealed. And so again, what we want to begin to understand now is that there is an appointed time for these things that are hidden, for them to come forth and begin to produce their fruit. And from the beginning, that appointed time seems to be on the third day. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I want to read from Paul's writings to the congregation at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says this, "It is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Which in Bill's translation is to say this. Again, I think we've mentioned this in a previous program. Paul is not talking about heaven. He's not talking about when we get to heaven, you know, we can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard. We haven't even begun to comprehend these things. No. If you go back and put Paul's statement within context, he is talking about the hidden wisdom of God, things that were foreordained and for our benefit. And he uses an example, the Messiah. how he it was intended that he perish, that he be crucified, but then to rise again. And then he makes this statement that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered in our hearts, meaning that there are those things in Scripture that were obscure in darkness. We couldn't even begin to imagine it. But eventually, the Spirit of God is going to reveal these things to us in their appointed time. In short, nobody, including me, have everything figured out where the Word is concerned. Would you agree with me that there are probably things yet in Scripture that you and I don't understand? There are probably things in Scripture that nobody completely understands, meaning there are things that are still in darkness, if you will. But when the appointed time comes, those things are going to burst forth and they're going to come into the light. Matthew chapter 13, I want to read something Yeshua says here. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. And so this scribe is to say the sofrim in Hebrew, those who study the book, is like the person who goes in and he finds out, he looks through his house and he finds things that, wow, he didn't even know there. He brings out treasures, some old, some new. But the treasures we're talking about are treasures that are actually ordained from the very beginning of time, things that we see from the dawn of creation. And this principle that we see in the beginning is critical to what we're talking about, to understand all these things that we're discussing. Because in the beginning, what we see is that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It was brooding over the face of the waters. Now, if you want to understand things spiritual, you have to understand things natural. Paul tells us, first the natural, then the spiritual. So the Creator gives us physical things to teach us of spiritual things. And so if the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters in a natural manifestation or a physical manifestation, what spiritual application is there? Well, waters, seas that we are introduced to in the very beginning are indicative or represent peoples, nations, multitudes. An example of this can be found in Isaiah chapter 17. You'll see that there and in some other passages of Scripture, that the seas represent the multitudes of peoples. And so then, in the very beginning, the seas or the nations, the multitudes, are hiding something. Because in the very beginning of time, the earth was covered with water. There was no dry land at the very first of creation. The dry land was beneath the surface of the waters. And later on, we're going to see that the dry land is going to produce something. It's going to produce grass, herb-yielding seed, trees that bear fruit, whose seed is in itself after their own kind. All that's down underneath the waters. And so, if the waters represent nations, then the nations are hiding something. They're concealing something. So then, on the first day of creation, we see that there is light. And the light is assigned to rule the day, and then, of course, darkness is assigned to the night. And then we move from the first day of creation, we come to the second day of creation. And on the second day of creation, this is when the firmament is established to divide the waters above from the waters below. And that's the second day of creation. And then we come to the next day. And on the third day, this is what the Creator says in Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And skipping down to verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And so the point is this. Again, the dry land was concealed until the third day. And there were certain things that had to happen, light being created on the first day, the firmament being established on the second day, in order that things that were ordained for the third day could occur. And so it was on the third day that all the seas were gathered into one place, and then what appeared? Dry land. But then notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that he created grass, herb-yielding seed, trees that bear fruit, etc. on the third day. No. It says, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb-yielding seed, the trees that bear fruit. Inferring this, hinting at that. The seed for all those things had already been sown in the earth before that happened. When was the seed sown? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we see that all the proper conditions don't come together for the hidden seed that is concealed to come forth until the third day. And if the seeds are indicative of the nations and multitudes, then it is prophetically suggesting to us that the nations, the multitudes, are concealing hidden seed that is intended to come forth not on the first day, not on the second day, but on the third day. And so we have what we'll call a third day principle. And we see throughout the scripture that there are many significant events that occur in conjunction with the third day. A few examples that I'll give you, we'll just give you the references for them. The first one is that Abraham saw the place that he was to take Isaac to offer him as a burnt offering on the third day. That's in Genesis chapter 22, verse 4. In Exodus 19, verse 11, the Creator descends upon Mount Sinai. It was on the third day. And then we see that Messiah, ultimately, the prime example, the Messiah is resurrected in Matthew 16, verse 21, on the third day. So all of these things happened on the third day. I might want to add this to the one about Mount Sinai. That involved a man by the name of Moses who was taken out of the waters into Pharaoh's house and was concealed there as an Egyptian, so to speak, until it was time for him to be revealed as a Hebrew. So all of these things are to say that there seems to be in the Scripture, if we go line upon line, precept upon precept, an appointed time for hidden things, hidden principles, a hidden word, and in some cases, people that God has hidden. These things seem to be revealed to us on the third day. And of course, everything is established in the beginning. The Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. And so it's revealed later, but it's established in the beginning. Likewise, this third day principle is not something that just appears in Scripture in the Gospels or in one of the prophets. It's something that is established for us in the very beginning, because it's on the third day that the Creator calls forth all this hidden seed. Now, I want to read now from Matthew chapter 17, something that's very interesting. It says, now after 6 days, Yeshua took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And so what we see in this, even in the Messiah, who and what he was, and that he was the Word made flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. The fact that he is the eternal, the fact that he is the Word made flesh, is concealed in a way beneath the veneer of flesh. In other words, he took on flesh and that kind of concealed who and what he truly was. But when we go to the top of the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, what was hidden is revealed. There's no longer any doubt in their minds that he is the Messiah. And so again, it's just to substantiate that there are these hidden things, and in their appointed time, they are revealed to us. And so from the very beginning, once again, we see that it would appear anyway, that the appointed time for hidden seed to come forth and be revealed and then begin to produce its fruit is on the third day. Now, there's another significant passage of Scripture dealing with this concept of the third day. And that is found in Hosea chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 and 2. It says, come, and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. And so the prophet predicts for us that there was going to come a day when God's people were going to return to him. And the Hebrew word there is shuv, from which we get the term teshuva, which means repentance. And so he was predicting that there was going to come a day when the people of God were going to repent. They were going to return to God. And they were going to return to God and to his ways. And I would read into that that they have found that their way hasn't worked. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the way, the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. And that, ladies and gentlemen, that truth would not only apply to devil worshipers and people who kill babies and things like that that are obviously and blatantly wicked, but there's a way that seems right to you and to me. And yet the end of our way is still death. Even with the best intentions, when we do our thing and when we go our own way, the end result is death and destruction. And so it's imperative that you and I turn to him, we shuv, and we make teshuvah, we repent, and we're returning to him his way. And so that's what Hosea is predicting. But he's telling us when this was going to happen. It was going to happen after 2 days. Well, if you have something that's going to occur after 2 days, then that would mean that it's going to occur on the third day. In fact, he says, and on the third day he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. And so here is what the prophecy is dealing with. And I'll make this kind of concise here for the sake of time. But in Hosea, we've got a group of people that have abandoned the instructions of the Creator. They have gone and served other gods. And in Hosea chapter 1, the prophet is told to marry a woman of the harlots, and he has children by this woman. And one of the children is a daughter whose name is Loruchma, which means no mercy, because God says, I'm not going to have mercy on them because of their idolatries. And then he has a son whose name is Lo-Ami, which means not my people, because he says they're not going to be my people because of these things, these abominations and these idolatries that they've committed. And there was a son that was previous to those two that was called Yisrael or Jezreel, which means to sow, because they were going to be sown among the nations, the peoples, the multitudes, and that would infer being hid among those nations. But in that same chapter, he says, but these same people, of whom it is said they're not going to be my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. Why? Because in Hosea 6, they said, come and let us return to the Lord. And they're going to be revived. And when are they going to be revived? After 2 days. When is he going to raise them up that they may live in his sight? On the third day. So now, ladies and gentlemen, consider Hosea, when he wrote this prophecy, it was a lot longer than 3 days ago. He wrote this centuries ago. And so obviously the second day and third day that he's referring to must have some kind of prophetic significance. And so I want you to consider something we all know, and that is what 2 Peter records for us in chapter 3. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years. And of course, 1,000 years is as a day. So I'm going to suggest to you that what Hosea is saying is this, that there's going to be an event that is going to occur on the third day, and that meaning the third prophetic day. The benchmark event in human history is this, that the Word, which is likened unto a seed in Mark chapter 4, became flesh and dwelt among us, and was crucified, it had to die, and was buried in a tomb or hidden, but came forth on the third day. That was about 2,000 years ago. And if we want to take what 2 Peter says to us, that means that that occurred about 2 days ago. The prophecy in Hosea 6 says that after 2 days, he's going to revive us. And on the third day, he's going to raise us up, call us forth, if you will, that hidden seed that is in the very beginning on the third day. In other words, what I'm getting at is this, that you and I are living in a significantly prophetic time, and that he has hidden seed, his people, all throughout the nations. And there comes a point in time that things that are within us that we never knew were there, things that are within His Word that we never knew were there, all of a sudden, He's bringing these things out of darkness and bringing them into the light. And here's why it's happening right now. Here's why we're beginning to hear about the Hebraic roots of our faith. Here's why we're just now starting to hear things about the feast days and Shabbat and all these desires to learn the language of the Bible. It's because it's not the first day since the Messiah's resurrection. It's not the second day since His resurrection. It's the third day. You and I are living in the times that Hosea prophesied of. Come back next week. We'll talk some more. Hope you've enjoyed this program. We'll see you. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BuiltCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BuiltCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.